Blog Talk Radio.
We did a show coincidentally the same date as free agency started, and now our next show, boom, right as the NFL schedule is released. You know, we're just too good. Anyway, let me introduce my co-host. First and foremost, as you guys may remember, I ran the EAFL, which was by far the best online Madden league ever created, and the very first Super Bowl winner of the EAFL has joined me, is here every show. We call him Dr. Train. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? It's almost official, man. Just, what's that, 2.5 more weeks.
That's what I'm screaming, man. That's what I'm screaming. I can't wait. We also have with us one of the all-time greatest Madden players. Notice I changed that up a little bit. Figure as long as he's been playing and as long as he's been on top and performing at such a high level, he now deserves to be called one of the all-time greatest Madden players. The guy is always at the top, always winning big tournaments. Last year he was runner-up in the VG Madden Challenge. This year, who knows how he's going to do. We're going to get a minute with him a little later in the show where he's going to talk about what's going on in the Madden world, including his participation in some of the large tournaments out there. But you guys know him as Ollie Quick. We know him as K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Glad to be here. Definitely was an introduction. I like the new title.
You like that, huh? Yeah, cool. I still remember that one game I played against you. Shoot, I'm still hurting from that game, man. You know, when you play someone and he ain't even looking at the screen and he's beating you by 5 touchdowns, at some point you have to realize that you have no chance. And I can say that. But anyway, let's jump right into it. You know, there's a lot to talk about tonight, and at the last minute I decided, let's jump right into the NFL schedule. All right, let's jump right into it, and let's look at a few teams. You know, this is something that will be debated all offseason. So, but let's look at the defending Super Bowl champions, New York Giants. Let's start right with the Giants, because to be honest with you, they might have. I don't know yet because the schedule just came out, so I don't know statistically. But if you look at their schedule, they might have the toughest schedule in the NFL. And if we remember back in 07 when they won the Super Bowl, they didn't make the playoffs the next 3 years. Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs. And the next time they made the playoffs, they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, this is a team with a little bit of a history of falling flat on their face right after the Super Bowl. So, and the way the schedule looks, let's take a look at this. You know, I don't know if you guys are looking here. Game one, right away with the Cowboys. Boom, right away. Now it's at home, it's in New York. But historically, the Giants don't play their best football at home. So they're starting off with the Cowboys. And, you know, obviously everybody knows I'm a Cowboy fan, but forget my loyalty to the Cowboys. This is a team that was knocked out, that had the division wrapped up and was beaten by the Giants, who then went on to win a Super Bowl. It doesn't take a rocket science to know that they should have a chip on their shoulder. Forget loyalty. You were locked out by this team last year and did not win a division and did not go to the playoffs, and now you're starting your next season, game one, in their stadium, as they are Super Bowl champs. They should come in with a chip on their shoulder. Let's go to week four, and then I'll get you guys. I just want to pick out a few key games. That one jumps out, of course, week one, first game of the season. Actually, it's on a Wednesday night because the Democratic convention is on that Thursday, so they moved it to the Wednesday. But a few games that stick out. Week three, they go to Carolina, and they play Cam Newton. I'm not even going to mention any other division games because we already know the division games are going to be tough. But outside of division, week three, they have the Panthers in Carolina. Week six, they go to Candlestick Park and they play the 49ers. Week nine, they host K-Stars Steelers. Week 10, they go to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. And then they get their bye week at week 11. Week 12, they come off the bye week and they host the Packers. Week 14, they host the Saints. Week 15, they go and play the Falcons. Week 16, they go and play the Ravens. I don't know. I haven't looked around the league, okay? But I got to think this has got to be about the most brutal schedule. And they forget the fact that they play the Cowboys twice, the Eagles twice, and maybe the RG3 loaded Redskins twice.
Wow.
This is a brutal schedule. Train, you are an NFC guy. What do you think?
Dude, it is so unfair that their bye week is week 11. Oh, my goodness. They don't even get a bye week at the halfway point just to recuperate, man. Their bye week is like, man, this season might be over by the time they we get here. Their schedule is so brutal. That's, I mean, only the only teams that you don't mention for the first half of their first 10 games was the Browns and the Bucks.
That's about it.
That's about it. Everyone else, you know, division rival or playoff contender. That's, man, that's harsh. I want what them Giants fans that were talking about repeat. Oh, man.
If I'm a Giants fan, I'm quiet right now. I'm just saying we're the champs. Because you can't argue that the Giants are the champs. So if I'm a Giant fan right now, that's all I'm saying is, hey, you know what? We're the champs. But that schedule, brutal schedule. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. This has to be the toughest schedule. I haven't seen any others because you started out with this one, and I'm just seeing the schedules now, but I refuse to believe that anybody's schedule is tougher than this right now.
I don't. I can't buy that either. I don't. I just. I know when I looked here, I went here first because they're the champs, not because I care. I care, but because they're the champs. And I said, okay, let's see what these guys have done. Let's see what they're doing. And I was stunned because literally, I mean, you're right, Train. Bucks, Browns, you know, are probably the only two games that you can say the way the Bucks played last year. We don't know what Bucks team's going to show up this year because the year before they were, you know, much better.
Right.
But let's just assume, you know, the Bucks probably still struggle. Browns can't seem to get it together. So maybe those are two games, you know, in their home games. So let's give them those two games. But then that's it. There is no other. That's it. Everybody else is either division rival or playoff team. K-Star, any thoughts on the defending champs? I know you guys are going in there to play them, and we'll talk about the Steelers' schedule in week nine, but any thoughts in general about the defending champs' schedule?
Nah, I mean, you guys are touched on that schedule. Brutal. That has to be the toughest. I haven't seen everyone else's, but that sounds like to be the one that just sounds like a death trap for them. I mean, that sounds really bad. The Ravens, I mean, they're playing the AFC North, so they're playing three playoff teams in the Bengals, Steelers, and Ravens. You got the brutal NFC East, and then just all the hell games, to be honest with you, the Packers, Saints, like, it's crazy. That schedule is brutal. They'll be surprised they won 9-7 again.
If they're lucky. I
yeah,
mean,
that's
to be
brutal.
Honest with you, it is brutal. It is. All right, let's jump. Okay, enough with the Giants. Let's jump over. Let's take a look. I want to look at the Steelers. You know, the Steelers have been a team, you know, obviously it's K-Star's team. So, you know, we definitely want to give, you know, K-Star a chance to talk about his team. But, you know, with Haley going over there and a lot of the, you know, the challenges that that team has had in the off season, the injuries they've had at the end of the season, and you know, K-Star, I know you got to be concerned. Let's just take a quick look, you know, at their schedule, and I'm gonna let K-Star run with it. But obviously, the first game that has to jump out at you if you're a Steelers fan is the very first game, and that's at Denver.
Sunday Night Football.
And the first thing that comes to mind is they lost at Denver, and Ryan Clark, who, by the way, we're going to talk about him soon, I have gained the utmost respect for by watching him the last couple of days on First Take. I mean, I now have a lot of respect. I didn't know him at all, but as a person, I can't really love him as a player because I'm not a Steeler fan, but as a person, and dude, very intelligent young man, and got a lot of respect for him. We're going to talk about that soon. But anyway, that said, he's an integral part of that defense, and he ain't going to be able to play in Denver. So you guys
are starting off
in Denver without Ryan Clark. That's how you're starting your season.
Yeah, then, again, Manning.
Then you got the Jets and Peyton Manning. How could I forget that? Then you got the Jets. You know, you're playing the NFC East, so you know that's going to be tough. I mean, why am I talking? K-Star, what do you think about your schedule?
Oh, last year was definitely easier. I'm looking at it right now. Been looking at, you know, ever since it's come out. It doesn't seem to be too bad, but we're playing the NFC East, and that's a tough division. But the good thing is we're not playing the first-place teams in the AFC because we were second last year in the AFC North. So we're playing Tennessee instead of Houston. We're playing San Diego. I'm sorry, not San Diego. We're playing, where is it at?
No, you're playing
The Jets instead of the Patriots. So, I mean, it's not too bad. You know, I don't really fear the Jets at all. I mean, we play, obviously, NFC East very good, but we'll see how it goes. We're at home against Philly, which is obviously very big. We're at Dallas, which sucks. We're at New York, which sucks. We're, of course, at home against Washington, which, you know, whatever. But I don't know. It doesn't seem too bad to me. It looks like, you know, something like 10, 6, 11, or 5. Of course, the draft really depends on it, but I'm not really too upset with it. You know, it's not too
bad.
Scare you? It doesn't scare you, but it's not like, it doesn't jump out at me either. It's, you know, this is an easy schedule. It's, you know, it's mediocre. There's some tough games in there.
Looking at the Giants schedule, certainly doesn't intimidate you.
Yeah,
it
doesn't compare to the Giants schedule. So
right.
Yeah, this schedule is what I would call the norm in the league.
Yeah.
Now, even though you will be playing the Peyton Manning led Broncos, I just think that Broncos game would be just have a little bit more meaning to it had it been Tim Tebow as a starting quarterback, since he was the starting quarterback that you guys lost to in the playoffs. But not to say that the game doesn't have me. I think it would have a stronger storyline had Tebow still been the quarterback for Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
But that's a nice game opening.
I'm looking forward to that game. I'm really excited for that opening game against at Denver.
But I disagree, Trent. I don't know of a stronger storyline than Peyton Manning's debut. I agree it would be powerful with Tebow in a rematch, but they traded Tebow. And now they've got Peyton coming in there, and everybody wants to see, is it going to be the Peyton or is it going to be, you know, a watered-down version? So, I mean, and starting off the season that way. And, of course, the Steelers are going to want revenge regardless, just because this is a team that knocked us out. So, I don't care, right? I mean, who's playing? We want to beat you. You know what I'm saying?
Lamar Woodley had already posted on Facebook that he's looking forward to seeing Peyton Manning against revenge of the Broncos. So, it's already – the Steelers are already talking about it internally. They're excited for the game. There's a lot of stake. And honestly, you know, the whole Peyton Manning thing is going to add more excitement to the game. And let's see how Peyton Manning, once he takes a hit from James Harrison and James Harrison tries to twist his neck off. Like, let's see what Peyton Manning really has when he plays a good defense in the Steelers week one. That's going to be brutal.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that comes to mind when I look at the first two games is, you know, Rex Ryan coaching the Jets. Going to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers and knowing that his backup, assuming that Tebow is the backup, and we'll talk about that later, but knowing that you have a quarterback on your roster that beat this very Pittsburgh team, you know, 6-7 months ago, how does that impact the Jets' planning? How does that impact their game planning for the Steelers? How does that impact the Steelers game planning if they say Sanchez is quarterback, but they know that the guy that beat us is sitting back there in the wings and could come in at any time? I think, you know, it's very intriguing. And most importantly, you know, if Peyton is Peyton, can pull out a win at home against the Steelers, could the Steelers start the season 0-2? I know K-Star's going to say no, but it's a storyline. Could that vary? I'm not worried about the Raiders, and I don't think K-Star would be, even in Oakland. But could you start 0-2 by losing to Peyton and then losing to the Jets? Just something to think about.
That we're starting our bye week 4. That's way too early to me. That's like we're not even getting in a rhythm by the third game of the year. Like 3 games in a bye, I hate that. Like no one's really going to be tired or needs to be rested. There might be a couple injuries or a couple of nicks, but I'd much rather have like a week 7 type bye. Week 4, that's way too early. I'm not really a fan of that at all.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something about the Jets game. You know, according to the offense coordinator, who's the guy right now? Who's his name again?
Tony Sperano.
Sperano.
Sperano. Yeah. Sperano. Now, he's already talked about using Tim Tebow, regardless of who's the starting quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's possible for the Steelers to see Tim Tebow plays come week 2. You know, week 1 is out the way. You got a feel for how your quarterback situation is just a little bit, but you might see some Tebow plays come week 2, especially considering what happened in the playoff game. So,
yep, I agree. And you know, Sperano, having spent some time in Dallas, I think is a very good offensive coordinator. I never really bought into him as a head coach. Even though he did have some flashes of success in Miami, but I never really bought into him. But as an offensive coordinator, I think he's very good. And I think that, you know, the Steelers really – I mean, Steelers always come in with a solid defense, so they're going to need it because Sperano, he's no joke. All right, let's shift over to Train's team now. Let's give Train some airtime here. Let's look at the Bears. You know, the Brandon Marshall Bears, the Matt Forte Bears, the Jay Cutler Bears. Let's look at the Bears.
Urlacher Bears.
There you go.
And
you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and let you know. I'm not even gonna talk, man. What do you think about the Bears schedule?
Wow, this is actually my first time laying eyes on this schedule as we speak, like right now.
Okay.
And to be honest, this schedule is not difficult at all. Like, if Chicago doesn't make the playoffs with this schedule, period, I'll be surprised. Barring that we don't lose any players to some major injuries, I'll be surprised if we don't make the schedule. But I do like the test that we get out to the season. I mean, we got the Texans number one defense from last season, number one, number two defense, tomato smaller. You got, of course, the rivalry with the Packers. Honestly, the weakest team on our schedules right now is the Vikings. We got the 49ers at San Francisco, and we see Cam Newton. Dude, this is actually going to be fun to watch. But the games I look forward to are the games against Detroit, the games against the Packers. We got the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's a whole week of trash talk between me and T. And then I mean, dude, come on, man. That's exciting to look forward to. That is a Monday night game, dude. Whoa, we're going to be on 10 come Tuesday, man. So, man, I mean,
I believe the Bears have 3 Monday night games next year. I believe case.
I think because all ESPN is Monday night, right?
Yeah,
so we got Monday night Cowboys, Monday night Lions, and Monday night San Francisco. I think we got Sunday night Texans. And then we have a Thursday night game against the Packers on week 2. But, man, yeah, I mean, they highlighted some of our tough matchups on primetime. Everything else, you know, because our schedule isn't so strong, you probably won't see Chicago on much primetime other than what's already set. But that's okay. I like this schedule, man. I like it.
Three Monday night football games is pretty good. I mean, that shows a lot of respect for your team that they're, you know, that right. I mean, obviously, well, Monday night usually doesn't change. I was thinking Sunday night. So that's pretty good. That's not bad at all. So good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. All right, well, let's obviously, you know, give me my opportunity here and look at the Cowboys. I have looked at it once, and, you know, obviously the first game that jumps out is the Giant game, and I was amped. I heard that about 2 weeks ago, and I was amped.
Well.
You know, I mean, I'm angry, you know what I mean? With all due respect to the New York Football Giants, and you've won the Super Bowl, but I am looking for the Cowboys to go in week one, that game, nationally televised game. Everybody's going to be watching because it's a Wednesday night. There are no other games. It's the first game of the season. Everybody's going to be watching. There will not be a football fan out there that's not watching this game because we are hungry for football. It's April, and we're hungry for football, okay? So yeah. By September, we're going to be gnawing at our remote controls ready to watch this game, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't care.
Let me say this real quick. Though, T. I would have to agree with you, though. When I actually saw this as the first game to be aired of the season, I mean, I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm not a Giants fan. But as a football fan, dude, I was super excited. I was like, really? Y'all going to open the season with a robbery? Oh, man, it's going to be some – they better have the medics out there. It's going to be some bloodshed.
I mean, if you think about it, you have to say there is no better game to start with simply because the Giants are the Super Bowl champs. Okay, if they weren't the Super Bowl champs, then I wouldn't say that, okay? But because you're bringing the Super Bowl champs on national TV to play the team that they beat to get into the playoffs, and that's how you're starting the season, and it's their arch rival and their nemesis, and there is no better game. There are a lot of good games that they could have chosen, and there are games that we can debate are as good, but you cannot find a better game than this one to start the NFL season. What I think to say that if the
Hey? Hello. Hello?
Yo, Frank?
I'm still here. Did he go out?
Yeah, it's not like he went out. But anyway, I'm looking at the week one schedule until T gets back. Yeah, Cowboys, Giants. An absolutely awesome game. It's going to be on Wednesday night. One thing I'm really excited for, though, is from week 2 to week 17 is Thursday night football every week. That is so sick. In the past couple of years, I kept thinking how I just wanted Thursday night football, which was like an all-year type thing rather than the last couple of months.
I'm back.
This year, oh, thank God.
Oh,
yeah, we're talking about Thursday night football.
I got dropped. I don't know how I got dropped, but I got dropped. So anyway, I don't know the last thing you guys heard, but what I was saying is if the Cowboys do not come out and compete, obviously I want to win, okay? But they need to show up in this game. They need to show that they are ready to compete this season in this game, okay? And I don't care what stadium you're playing in. You need to come ready to play, and you need to be pissed off, period. End of discussion. I'm also pleased that with my two co-hosts, the Bears and the Steelers, and that we actually play both of you guys at home. So I'm very pleased about that. A Sunday night game against the Bears, and it's like a Sunday afternoon.
The Steelers Cowboys mean national televised. It's a 4:15 game, but you know that's going to be the one that they focus on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if both teams are heading to the playoffs, that might turn into the Sunday night flex game. You know, if both teams are playing.
I'm okay because that's not a primetime game anyway. I figure Steelers Cowboys would be a shoo-in.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the problem, to be honest with you, you know, the Steelers' history, the Steelers will be in contention for their division by then. We don't know if the Cowboys will or won't. That's just the reality. I'm not going to sit here and be a homer and not ignore history. You know, and the history is we don't know. December is a tough month for Dallas historically. We don't know how they're going to be at the end of the year. So I agree with them not automatically making that a nationally televised game because of the Cowboys' history. But I can tell you sitting here now – if both teams are doing well and in contention for their division, you better believe that that game will be a Sunday night game with the three Super Bowls between, you know what I mean? Come on, man. That's definitely prime time. I don't have a problem with our schedule. I mean, as I look at it now, you know, teams like the Seahawks and the Bucks, I'm not worried about. I'm really not. I mean, I respect Cam Newton, but, you know, I'm not. I mean, we got rid of Terrence Newman. We got Brandon Carr, a few other things on defense coming. I'm not overly concerned about the Panthers. Falcons, a little bit stronger team. Yep, that's going to be good. Steelers, of course, is going to be good. Saints should be. We're going to talk about how the Saints might look next year. But, I mean, I'm looking at Bengals, again, could be a good team. But I don't see anything here. I mean, Ravens going to be a tough game in Baltimore. That's going to be a tough game. But we're coming off a bye week, so we have 2 weeks to prepare for them. Thank God. Okay. Hopefully the Bears want to beat us up too bad on the game before. They have a very physical defense, so hopefully we won't come out of that game all beat up and black and blue and injured, and then we got to go play another physical defense. But, I mean, overall, I feel about similar to K-Star. I'm not worried about the schedule. I'm not afraid of it. It's about what I would expect for an NFL schedule. I'm not panicked at all by this schedule. And again, after seeing the Giants, yeah, okay. This here ain't bad
right.
for me. No. Right. I mean, we could go into Chicago, be in Dallas. If we can pull an upset on the Giants, and I would call that an upset because they're the champs. I don't see us losing Seattle. Tony Romo's gonna have something to prove. 0-6, fumbled snap. You know, boom, boom. So we're going to have a good time in Seattle. Come home, open up against the Bucks. Don't expect them to be much. And then get ready, hopefully, 2-1 or 3-0, and then hosting the Bears. I mean, we can go into our bye week looking really, really good and then get ready for a damn tough run coming out of the bye week. Ravens, Panthers, Giants, Falcons, Eagles.
Ooh.
Five games in a row. That's our season right there.
Yeah.
That's our season.
You got to survive that five game stretch.
Right. But see, what I do want people to understand is that people talk about how Dallas folds in December, but a lot of times you'll see that kind of schedule at the end of the year. Now, it's not a cakewalk at the end, but I'll take it. I'll take the Bengals. They're not, to me, not what these teams are. Steelers is going to be tough. Saints, we don't know, period. And Redskins, maybe, but we don't know. Historically, I like our chances against the Redskins. So I'm okay. I'm okay with the schedule. I am. I'm actually okay. And it's Jason Garrett's first full year. Okay. He came in halfway in the 2010 season. Okay. So he didn't get a training camp because he took over when Wade Phillips got fired. Last season it was a lockout, so he didn't get a full training camp. So this is actually his first year to have it from beginning to end. Training camp, OTAs, all offseason, he's got the whole thing. So I'm optimistic now that he can finally do what he knows how to do, that this team's going to come to play. That's how I'm looking at it.
Okay.
All right. Moving on, let's go to Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Okay, let's see what Peyton Manning has to look forward to. He chose the Broncos. He had the choice of several teams that were looking at him, and he made the choice to come to the Broncos. And let's see what he's got. Well, we already talked about, you know, opening game against the Steelers. But, you know, those first three games, those are playoff teams, you know. Steelers, Falcons, Texans. Maybe a little reprieve against the Raiders. And then Patriots, Chargers. So, I mean, five out of his six first games are brutal. There's no cakewalk in any of those five games. Go into your bye week, come out. You've got the Saints, potentially another brutal game. Bengals, playoff team. Panthers, Cam Newton, we don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Chargers, Phillip Rivers, right? You know, so, I mean, we're going to see what Peyton Manning is made of very, very quickly. You know,
and
I'd like to add
this real quick. Yep. Those are the Romeo Crennel led Chiefs in his division. So it's the same defense coordinator that he had to face when he was in Indianapolis, and Crennel was in playing for coaching for the Patriots.
Well, that's true.
That's true.
This is a very tough schedule. I'm just looking at this now. Steelers, Falcons, like, yeah, the first beginning is tough, and then the middle is even tough. You know, with the Saints, you know, we were going through it, but I think I was reading earlier that this was like the second toughest schedule in the league as far as win percentage goes against last year. This is tough. The only real games they had there, a cakewalk, we would assume would be the Browns game and maybe the Bucks. But aside from that, it's tough. It's tough the whole season.
Yep.
So
I agree.
You know, it'll be very interesting to see Peyton Manning's ready for football because he starts right away against the Steelers, like I said, and then he plays the Texans defense week three. And you know, and then he plays obviously Tom Brady and the Patriots week five, so he's got a tough sled ahead of him.
You got to think that he's probably sitting there thinking, "Damn, you know, if to kept me, I'd be playing a what were they 2-14? I'd be playing a 2-14 schedule, the last place, and now I got to go and play a playoff team schedule." You know, so all right, let's go to the phones. We do have a caller. On hold, let's bring him on. He has a 978 area code. Again, it's a 978 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yo, what up?
What's going on?
Yeah, so listening to all the talk about this, I think, though, the easiest schedule is one of the easiest, at least, is the Patriots. I think we play one playoff team in our first before our bye week. We start off at Tennessee, home Arizona. The toughest teams we have in our schedule, we got Baltimore week three. Buffalo, I think, could be a tough game with their additions on defense, but not really, because I think after last season, we were the second best passing offense in the league, and tied for fourth with the least interceptions thrown. And then after our bye, we're home versus Buffalo, home versus Indianapolis, at New York, at Miami, then home versus Houston, San Fran, and then we have Jacksonville, Miami. So I think, honestly, the Patriots, they have an easy road to get to the playoffs. I think the only way they screw this up is if they do something, like, completely stupid, if their defense just screws it over, or if the wide receivers don't show up, because I think this year, though, I think Ocho Cinco is going to have a 1,000-yard season this season. Ocho Cinco coming back.
You think so?
Oh, wow.
You think there's enough ball? You think there's enough? I mean, I agree he'll be more productive, but you think there's enough balls for him to have? I mean, Welker, you know, Gronkowski, Hernandez, Branch.
Even though what they brought, when bringing in Dante Stallworth, re-signing Branch, they re-signed Matt Slater, signed Anthony Gonzalez, that's going to push T.O. I mean, I think he's going to have a better season. I mean, I'm going out on a limb by saying that. I still think Gronk and Hernandez are going to lead that offense. But I think, though, with this extra competition, that's going to push him. I mean, when you think about it, though, he's still in a good part of his career. I mean, he's going towards kind of the end. But if you look at the season before when he started playing, even with T.O., he did have the most receptions for the Bengals when they had T.O. and Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, but T.O. had more yards and more touchdowns.
With the Patriots, though, you got to remember Brandon Lloyd right now is a better option than Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah.
Although, he's playing the Josh McDaniels offense. We all know Brandon Lloyd with Josh McDaniels has, you know, made his career viable, to say the least. So we'll see. I mean, they have a lot of options, that's for sure, with Welker, Hernandez.
Yeah.
I think the best player in their offense is Gronkowski.
The thing they have to do is they have to get defense. The draft has to be about their defense. I mean, honestly,
absolutely.
That defense is horrendous.
They have a lot of draft picks, so I'm sure they honestly, they can't really draft anything but defense, because what are they going to do, draft a receiver, draft an offensive line? The only thing a team drafting offensively would be a running back, but they don't even really
draft
anything.
They're
passing team anyway.
I'm good running back, so but I want to get T's opinion on this, because I don't know if he has talked about this, but the Cowboys signing Jay Cutler. I don't know what you got to admit. I mean, Kyle Orton.
I was going to say, Jay Cutler, did I miss something?
Kyle Orton. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, he's a backup, you know?
Yeah.
So as a backup, I don't have a problem with it, because, Yeah. You know, he's a backup. I think we arguably may have the best backup in the NFL as a backup. I think, you know, clearly we have our starter. We've got our franchise quarterback. He's coming off the best season of his career, 102.9 QB rating. You know, he's of course. I mean, he had the best season of his career. And so I'm not worried about Tony at all as long as he stays healthy. But if he does get nicked up the last two seasons, he's missed some games, broken collarbone 2 years ago. Last year, you know, punctured lung, broken ribs, didn't miss any starts, but certainly, you know, was limited. You know, to have a guy, you know, like Orton as a backup who can come in. I mean, remember, we just had John Kitna, you know. So, I mean, and John Kitna played very well as a backup behind Tony Romo. So I think Orton, I think this is perfect for us because we only will get splashes of him. And my fear would only be if Romo, something happens to Romo early in the season and he's done. And now Orton becomes the backup. Now, I mean, the starter for the year early. Okay, now I got a problem. now I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
I gave up on Tony Romo 2 years ago when he got the broken collarbone and I picked him up after he won that playoff game. And he broke his collarbone and was like, "You're killing me. You're killing me."
Well, I mean, he broke his collarbone because, you know, somebody missed the block. And if you followed that play, he's on the ground, and his first comment was, "Did he catch the ball?" Okay? They take him out of the game.
That was good.
They take him out of the game. They think it's a bruised shoulder. They go x-ray. The next series starts. They don't have the x-rays yet. The x-rays are coming to the sideline. He's running on the field to play. And wait a minute. Hold on. We think you might have a broken collarbone. You're not going back in. So, I mean, toughness is not an issue. And he played well last year.
That's not a question.
Kyle Orton as a backup who can come in and spell Romo, you know, for a game or two, I'm okay. I'm not okay with him being the starter. So I'm fine. Is there a better? I mean, you guys tell me. Is there a better backup out there?
Thinking about it, the only other comparable backup would probably, if he doesn't start, would be Tebow. That's probably it. If he doesn't start, like I don't think he's on the. He might not play as well, but I think he's probably the only backup you can compare to Kyle Orton.
And where's Jason Campbell ending up? He's somewhere.
There's so many back. I think it's maybe Jason Campbell could be up there. I mean, there's some good ones. I think there's some good ones.
I'll be honest. I never thought I'd say this, and I may come back and you know all our shows are taped and archived on. iTunes, in case anyone's out there, Madden Voice, just go to iTunes and we're there, the Madden Voice. So I could regret what I'm about to say, but I'd take, as much as I'm not a Kyle Orton fan, I would take him over Tim Tebow.
That division, they got the Patriots, and they have to deal with that the Bills defense now. I mean, that's probably like another team that could give Tebow trouble because I mean Mario Williams, they got a little bit more. I mean I still think they're gonna be at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm not. Mario Williams went to Buffalo for one reason he took the money. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't think Buffalo's going to be much better. You know, I think he's going to be a forgotten player. He'll get 18 sacks, 17 sacks, whatever on a team that won't be 500. You know, I'm not worried at all. I'm not worried about Buffalo at all. You know, I will say this though. I mean, the Patriots schedule. I'm glad you brought that up, and appreciate you calling in because I'm amazed at how this team is coming off of
beyond easy.
Yeah, I mean, you just were in the Super Bowl, and
this one of the easiest schedules.
This is not a difficult schedule. Number one, number two, they have how many draft picks? How many first round draft? Three. Four? I don't even remember how many first-round draft picks. They have three, I think, first-round picks. I mean, they are set to, you know, go back. I mean, K-Star, I know you're, you know, Steelers and, hey, rah-rah, you know, terrible towel and all that. But you have to be worried when you look at what the Patriots are facing, a fairly easy schedule, a lot of draft picks, and Belichick.
I think throughout their whole schedule, they play about one. Four playoff games through their whole schedule.
Yeah, it's very easy. Honestly, there's actually an article.
It's at Baltimore. That's it. I think that's
There was actually an article that I was reading just a little bit ago talking about how the Patriots and the Packers both have extremely easy schedules and why they should be set up nicely for a possible playoff bye. I mean, honestly, that's a lot of speculation, but their schedule really is that easy. It's ridiculously easy. They're really good shape. In my opinion, I think they'll be better this year, this upcoming year, than they were last year, and they were just a drop away from Super Bowl last year. So, they're going to be very tough. They'll be very, very tough, and I expect to see them, have a bye like usual, and hopefully the Steelers get another bye, because the Ravens' schedule is pretty brutal, which makes me happy looking at it. It's pretty tough. It's not tough on our schedule list, so.
I just hope Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get injured this year. I just hope he doesn't, because I had him on fantasy, and I dropped my chances and got Tim Tebow. I benched Roethlisberger for Tebow. And I'm
pretty sad.
Sorry to bring that up. Sorry.
Browns, and affected the rest of the year and the playoffs against the Broncos, and Big Ben was pretty much immobile the rest of the year. So.
Hey, you know, he said he was sorry to bring that up, right? Caller said, he's sorry to bring that up. I mean, and sometimes things just come up over and over.
All right. Obviously, the Steelers won't win this game. They're on defense, in total yards and scoring. You're playing one of the most anemic offenses in all of football. The ankle for Big Ben is a lot better than what it was against San Francisco, which is definitely good news. But while we lost Mendon Hall, Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown, two prolific receivers for us. I just don't see how, Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against number one defense in the league. Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, Lamar Woodley, they're calling for you, Tim Tebow. I love you, but not this Sunday. Not this time.
Oh, God. I still feel like my analysis was spot on. Like, I don't feel bad like what my prediction was, because the next week is what happened. I thought. There was a better chance before that game. There was a better chance Tim Tebow driving Aquaman than there was them winning that game at first.
That's why they play the games. I still think that was a fluke game, but it doesn't really matter because they won. But it's just he had the game of his life, and we just played such a horrible game, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It still hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does hurt, and that's why I'm fucking excited. That's why I'm freaking excited for Week 1. It's not Tim Tebow, but whatever. We'll get Tim Tebow week two. We'll get the Broncos week one. We had Tim Tebow in the Jets week two, so it's fine.
All right. Hey, caller, appreciate your time.
Yeah, I got one quick question, though.
Hey, go ahead. Yep.
So, I've been watching Madden Nation. I got it on my Xbox and watch it. Now, one quick question. One thing I'm wondering. The game after you lost the Dynasty, and he opens up the window, and he's like, he's talking to you. Did you flip him off? Because I swear to God, it looks like you flipped him off.
Oh, yeah, I flipped him off. Yeah, I flipped him off. I absolutely flipped him off. I was pissed off. It was pretty, I flipped him off.
Yeah. Oh, by the way. Oh, my God, did you get picked up by Albert Hainsworth, dog? You know who he is? He's a DG. Oh, my God, the greatest play in the history.
Yeah, that play was crazy. I remember Truth talking to me after the game, and he just couldn't believe it. He was like, wow, really? You got to do it on Madden Nation, though? Like, you got to see that play?
No, the funny thing is, if you watch the episode during the coach camp, he's just like, this guy's just cheating and putting yellows and flats all over the place.
Yeah, he was being a force for it. He was just trying to save face at that point, but fine.
Hey, are you playing in the VG challenge?
Yeah, we're actually going to talk about that here in a little bit. I am 100% going to be there for the New York Mets.
Do you have the rules?
There are. The rules are all-pro five-minute quarters.
Yeah, south block.
All-pro five-minute quarters?
Excel clock.
Holy cow.
It's Pomeroy heard it every play anyway, so maybe the Curry clock.
That's all I have to say to that.
Yeah, it's not the best, but you know what? I'll take 5 minute quarters rather than 2 minute quarters or 3 minute, you know, whatever. So,
All right. Hey, we appreciate the call. Appreciate your loyalty. Right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. All right, good call. Right. Appreciate that. Appreciate
that. I know we're going past your schedule, but I just wanted to say real quick, yeah, that is a sickly easy schedule for the Patriots. I mean,
it's
ridiculous.
It really is. I mean, I can't guarantee that this is going to happen, but, you know, I'm going to throw it out there for all the fans. As many of you know, I broadcast live from Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN. Not at ESPN. I don't want anybody thinking I work for ESPN. We have no affiliation with ESPN whatsoever. Just happen to be in the same town as them. That said, Bristol, Connecticut is also home of a very famous New England Patriot, Aaron Hernandez. And I am working diligently to try to get him to come on the show. Can't guarantee it's going to happen. But I do know people that know him, and I am trying to get him to come on the Madden Voice. So stay tuned. We were able to get Dwight Freeney last year, and I had a connection there. So we're going to try to get Aaron Hernandez to come on the Madden Voice, and hopefully he can talk about what he thinks about their schedule coming up. So stay tuned. There'll be more on our Facebook page, but I'm working hard to get him. So, all right, so. You know, time permitting, we can get back to talking about schedule. I think it's something that will come up over and over again over the next several months. But what I'd like to do now is maybe let's, you know, since K-Star already started talking about Madden, let's jump to, you know, a segment that we plan to have on every show as we try to stay at least loyal to our roots with the Madden video game being how this show was started and having, you know, again, one of the all-time greats as a co-host. Let's take, you know, in each segment now, we're going to allow K-Star to talk about Madden. And pretty much it's going to be up to him to decide what he wants to cover, whether it's what he's doing, whether what's going on in the community, tournaments, whatever. It's going to be up to K-Star, and we're going to call it a minute, Madden Minute with K-Star. So we're going to turn it over to K-Star, and I'll give him his minute to talk about Madden.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. As we all know, well, some of you don't know, let's inform you, next Saturday is the VG, Virgin Gaming / EA Sports Madden Challenge final of this year. And it's in Manhattan, New York City, and it's gonna be a great time. It's for our first place is for 140,000, second place I believe is 45,000, and it's basically 400,000 split into many different sections of the tournament. If you won your first game, for instance, you win $500. So like I said, it's pretty much cut up the whole tournament as far as making money goes. You're a great opportunity if you're in it. But nonetheless, enough of all that, but next Saturday is what's real. I am working very hard, eating my Madden game absolutely proper for next Saturday because I'm not trying to be a runner-up this year. You know, it was cool. It was fun. But there's way more money in the line this year. And obviously, that's the only void I personally have in my resume. And I'm trying to fill that void, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm working very hard. I know everyone else in the community, even people who I've never met or I'm aware of. There's going to be a lot of people there. There's supposed to be over 500 contestants in this thing. There was online qualifiers to get in, and then there are people who just bought in for, I believe, $450 or something like that. So there's a lot of people. It's going to be very, very interesting. It's a one-day event, so it's going to be very strenuous. It's going to be a Madden challenge for sure, kind of like the old school Madden challenges where we, you know, have to stand up, play all day, survival of the fittest, and hopefully, you know, Ollie Quist ready to win. So I'm very excited for it. And, you know, the favorites out there, just based on this year, would have to be a player named Little Man. He's very good. Los, of course, he won it all last year over me in the finals. You have to look out for him. A kid named Warhawk, who's come on the scene a couple of years ago, but this year being his best year, he's definitely someone to look out for. And Big Gene is rumored to be there. He's trying to play it off like he won't be there, but I know Big Gene. I know Big Gene's getting ready for this.
So all that money? All that money, Big Gene will be there.
All that money, yeah. You're going to see a lot of old faces pop up and see if they're still relevant. But I'm really excited for the competition. But this again, this is like the World Series of Madden. This is as big as it gets. This is, you know, the reason why most people come out of retirement to play the game or spend as much time they do playing the game for this. So I'm really excited. I get there next Friday night. Again, I'm just very, very excited for this opportunity. And it's going down.
We're going to be doing this show on May 1st, which is right after the weekend following. So we are looking forward to a full debrief from you.
We'll have a lot to cover. I'm going to have footage and everything. Maybe we'll put it on the website. But like I said, guys, Madden players, if you haven't qualified, you can still, I believe you can still buy in. Go to virgingaming.com for all the details. But a car after earlier, it's 5 minute quarters. It's all pro. And like I said, let's get it in. Let's see who's the best this year. This is a big
now,
game. Now,
has there been a dynasty sighting?
And that's weird to me because this man, I don't know what has happened, but I don't think he's even coming back to play in this thing. I'm not sure what's going on with him. But I know a lot of old heads are coming back to play in it. I guess dynasty is not. I'm not sure again why or why not. But I know your nephew is. You know, and he won Madden Nation. T-Funk, again, I know Big Gene's going to be there. He can sit here and act like he's not going to be, but I know you, Gene. I know you're going to be there. So a lot of Madden, you'll see, for any spectators to go, I believe there's a $10 spectator fee. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to see a lot of the best players out there. And, you know, like I said, it's $140,000 for first place. This is the biggest cash prize ever in Madden history. So it's going to be a war out there. I'm really, really excited.
It sounds exciting. It really does. And, you know, we certainly want to wish, you know, our co-host all the luck in the world. I mean, be honest with you, I hope you win. I'm not running a league. I'm not part of a crew. I've got no more player loyalties in Madden any longer. So you've got my loyalty. So I hope you win. And we're gonna look. I think what we'll do on May 1st is actually black out more than a minute. You know, we can actually pretty much on our next show talk about two things, and you know, talk about the NFL draft, which is the same weekend as your event, and then of course talk about the event. You know, and but I'm looking forward to it. That's great. That's absolutely great. And good for Madden. I mean, you know, the last few years before VG came in, you know, with EA Sports and getting rid of the Madden.
Uh-oh.
I
believe we lost T. Gene, basically just piggyback off what he was saying anyway. You know, last few years Madden has lost. It looked like Madden had seen his better days. You know, it actually had joined Major League Gaming, but that was only for a year. And last year, we didn't really have anything until Virgin Gaming picked up the Madden Challenge last year. And that last year was for $25,000, which was cool.
All right, I'm back.
Yeah.
Good mugger. That's twice. I don't know what's going on, but anyway. Sorry.
Yeah, see,
man, I don't know what's going on, man. Maybe ESPN. You know what, that's going to be the next topic is ESPN. But anyway, I just wanted to say I'm real happy for the Madden community in general with EA Sports kind of, you know, getting rid of the Madden Challenge. MLG took it over for a year, really didn't work out, and the whole tournament scene being kind of on its ear. And, you know, to have such a large event with such a major sponsor, I mean, that's just great for the Madden community. So, you know, that's just kudos. Kudos to the Madden community to have this. And I really hope, I mean, I don't know how it was last year, I hope that people are behaving themselves and, just respecting the fact that there is a lot of money on the line and acting appropriately. I just hope that's happening. But anyway, all right, so let's move on to, now, you know, last week, and it actually rolled into this week, I was watching First Take. I watch First Take every day. And for those of you who don't know what First Take is, if you're a sports fan or even a football fan or whatever, and you watch ESPN and you don't know what First Take is, and you might be in a cave, but it comes on ESPN2. Comes on 10 o'clock every day, and then they replay it at 12. And Skip Bayless is kind of his show. And Stephen A. is on there at least once a week, maybe more. Rob Parker and a variety of other, the two live stews and a variety of other ESPN hosts and analysts are on that show. And it's a debate show. and it's a very popular debate show. You know, it gets very high ratings, and particularly when Stephen A. is on there against Skip Bayless, it's must see TV if you're a sports fan, because they don't miss many topics, and it's a very entertaining show. What I saw last week was a situation where Jalen Rose and Skip Bayless got into it, and it segued into Jalen Rose, who I also now have a higher level of respect for as an NBA, as an analyst, challenging Skip Bayless's style of analyzing and critiquing games. And the main issue that Jalen had, that Marcellus Wiley, that what's your Steelers guy there, Ryan?
Ryan Clark.
Ryan Clark had, is not so much. And there's a perception that a lot of players have, and really the way this started, we can even go back before Jalen Rose. Skip Bayless was a big supporter of Kevin Durant. Skip Bayless is from Oklahoma, and or either is from there or lives there, so I don't want to misquote, but I think he lives in Oklahoma and is a big Kevin Durant supporter. And then Kevin Durant came out and said that Skip Bayless doesn't know anything about basketball. And so, of course, then Skip Bayless kind of flipped the script, and now all of a sudden he's no longer a Kevin Durant supporter. So that has led into Skip Bayless tends to use certain nicknames against players. And I now, of course, now that I'm on the spot, I can't think of any of the nicknames. Tony Romo, Tony Romeo, Terrell Owens, T.O., Team Obliterator, LeBron James, Queen, they call him Queen James, Chris Bosh, he called Bosh Spice. So he comes up with names to demonstrate how he feels about the player's performance. And he's been called to task on that. And the issue they discussed is, when is enough too much? Where do you draw the line? And is insulting someone or calling them out of their name over the line when you're talking about their performance? And it was a very, very, very intriguing conversation that went over two episodes. And then Ryan Clark was on yesterday, and then he went into it somewhat as well. And I don't know, Train, I know you said you didn't get a chance to see it. I don't know if K-Star, if you got to see it or not. But if you guys go to YouTube, I'm pretty sure you'll find clips on YouTube or maybe on ESPN's First Take site on the Internet or maybe on Facebook. But I recommend everybody go see it because it's very intriguing. So the question is it okay for an analyst who is a journalist and who may have never played the game to talk derogatory about the players individually, not their performance, but about them as people, calling them soft, saying they have no heart, and that kind of stuff? Is that okay? That's the question on the table. And with that as the foundation, I'm going to start with K-Star. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I don't see a problem with it because at the end of the day, like I said, First Take is a TV show on ESPN, and it's a sports show. It's, you know, filled with debate. It, more or less, it's still, at the end of the day, it's on TV because it garners ratings, and at the end of the day, these people are paid to entertain as well as, you know, commentate and analyze. And honestly, Skip Bayless is putting his own opinion out there. I mean, yeah, he's putting nicknames to players or whatnot, but I don't see a problem with that because when you're a professional athlete, you are open to criticism. And as far as Skip Bayless goes, you know, he's pretty much hated by a lot of players, and that's what he wants. That's what also is the Skip Bayless you know, aura, so to speak. Like, people watch him because they know he's not going to bite his tongue ever. He's always going to say what's on his mind, so I don't see a problem with that at all. I understand players feel a certain type of way, but come on, guys, like, you, at the end of the day, are going to be criticized regardless, and yeah, you might not like certain names or things attached to you, but, you know, again, it's an open forum, and it's Skip Bayless' show, and he has a job to entertain as well as players do for fans to watch them play at a high level. Skip Bayless has a job as well to keep fans watching
you know, what he has to say about players, and that's just the nature of the beast. And I don't see a problem with it at all. He's had a job, he's being paid to analyze, and he's doing that while entertaining.
Okay. Train, I don't know if you've had a chance to look into any of this or if you have an opinion, but
I haven't had a chance to look at it, but you know, just listening from what you said, you watched the show more than way more than I have, so you can correct me if I'm wrong with my viewpoint, but not that I disagree with anything K-Star said, because when you're in the limelight, man, I mean, you're subject to a lot of criticism based on your gameplay. But at the same time, I will agree that there has to be some kind of line that you don't cross with it. You know, there are some analysts I can't even listen to because when they talk, they're not really talking about the game. All they are is just bashing the players if you know this player personally and they don't. So I think just from that point of view, there has to be some kind of line to be drawn as to say, hey, okay, at some point, you know, let's just stick to this player, you know, his gameplay or criticism about his gameplay, but not, you know, the player himself, you know. Because, I mean, I don't know. I like I said, don't disagree with K-Star, but I think that at some point there has to be some kind of line drawn, especially if it's being crossed, especially if players and former players are still like it's being crossed.
Well, you know, one of my bucket list items is to get to somehow or another sit across from Skip Bayless on First Take. I'm a nobody in this business. I consider us a part of the media now by doing this show. The Madden Voice has done over 100 episodes. We've interviewed Dwight Freeney. We're trying to get Aaron Hernandez. We've had music people on here. I've had Joe Garcia, Playboy Playmate, on this show. I've had some of the top EA Sports personalities on the show, certainly some of the top Madden Nation participants. Actually, all of them had been on the show at one point or another. So we've certainly done our share of media. We've certainly done our share, and while I will not pretend that we are a First Take, because we are not, they are on TV, we are not, they are internationally followed, we are not, and so I would never do that, I do feel like we are a part of the same media, and one day I'd love to be sitting across from Skip Bayless. I would love that. He was nominated for an Emmy, and I respect that. He's been doing this for 30 years, I respect that. But I've watched him. I've watched him a lot, and I think he does a lot of things for shock value. Now, his compadres will say he does not, that he means everything he says, and maybe he does, but I think there's a lot of shock value. I'll give you an example. There was a game between the Lakers and the Heat, and I'm sorry, I'm mistaken. The NBA All-Star game when Kobe was going in for the dunk and D-Wade fouled him intentionally and he broke Kobe's nose. And Skip Bayless came on and said it was intentional. He was sending Kobe a message. And Wade came on and said, not true. And Kobe came on and said, not true. And Bayless continued to say that Wade did it on purpose. And these guys are good friends. These guys have been in commercials together, played on Olympic teams together. Granted, they're going to compete, but there is no history of any bad blood between these guys, none. And I sat there listening to him making his case, and I said, oh, my God, this guy just wants the story. He wants the attention. When he says things like Tony Romo or he calls LeBron James the frozen one or whatever, I believe he's doing it to make a point, but I believe he's also doing it to push those players because he will say, I want them to come on the show and debate me because that's his forum. Ryan Clark made a very good point. One day, Ryan Clark has a degree in mass communications. He says, one day my career will be over and I could and hope to be sitting next to you guys in a studio like this doing this job, but you will never be doing my job. It will never happen. And so with that said, I am in agreement with Train that if you want to judge the player, it's full throttle. But you have no right to judge the human being or the person. You You have no right to do that. And I get mad, and Train will remember the debates we've had on the Madden message boards about NFL players. And I, there will never be a time that you hear me talk negatively about a player as a person. Never. I don't even call teams by some of the nicknames that are out there. And I get aggravated when people call the Cowboys the Cowgirls. It's childish, it's juvenile. It's not necessary. It's not relevant. It's not the Deadskins. It's not relevant. Tony Romo. Really? Tony Homo. What is your point? Talk about the fact that he's only won one playoff game. You've got my attention because that is a fact. Talk about the fact that he's fumbled a snap in a playoff game. Talk about the fact that there have been times at the end of the game that he didn't close. Now we have an intelligent debate going on as men, as football fans, as analysts. But when it becomes why is he going to Cabo or why is you know what I mean, we're going to talk about a little bit later, why is he playing for, you know, going to play in a U.S. Open or any of that stuff? I don't get it. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's necessary to demean somebody's character to prove your point because you don't know them. Let's keep it to the athlete, the on-court or on-field performance, and I'm with you. And when I see Skip and Stephen A. do that, there is no better debate. There is no better than when they're talking about LeBron James or comparing him to Jordan or Tony Romo or Tim Tebow or whatever. No better. But when it segues into other things that are not directed to sports, I've got a problem with it. That's not what your job is, in my opinion. Your job is to analyze, and I can assure you that on the Madden Voice, we will never go down that road. I will never, ever talk about someone's character because I don't know them. It will be about their on-field or on-court performance. I feel very strongly about that. But again, Skip Bayless is, you know, he's in a position to where you can't knock his success or his fame because whatever he's doing, people watch him and follow him, and he's very popular, very famous, and you can't knock it. But if that's what it takes to get to that position, then unfortunately I will never get there because that is not something that I will do. So moving right along, let's move on. You guys still with me?
Yeah, we're here, man.
All right, just checking. I'm just checking. Before we move on to the next subject, I think our, you know, sometimes blog talk, it's hard to tell, but I think our 978 guy wants in on this. So let me go back to the phone lines and try once again. Hold on. Yeah, blog talk loves me. Hold on. We're trying to unmute our earlier caller. And come on. All right, we'll get back to him momentarily. 978, don't go anywhere. We're having a little bit of a problem unmuting you, so don't go anywhere. Let's talk a little bit about the Saints. Let's talk a little bit about just a lot of stuff that's going on with the bounty, the Saints, Drew Brees' contract. I mean, there's so much there. First of all, let's start with the bounty fallout. Let's start with Sean Payton suspended for a year, Greg Williams suspended indefinitely, Vitt suspended for 6 games. Train, you know, you're in the NFC. You know, when you heard, and of course the story has evolved, so the most recent thing is the videotape of Greg Williams. You know, what were your thoughts on that video, I mean, audio tape? And what were your thoughts on the suspensions that came down from Goodell? And apparently there might be some more fines and stuff coming. But what are your thoughts, Trey?
All right. First of all, I want people to understand that I do not agree with any player going out to purposely take another player out the game or injure them for a season. I mean, you guys are free. I mean, y'all. I can't even find the word I'm looking for. But anyway, you play in the same league. You're both trying to earn paychecks. You're trying to feed your family. You're fighting for the same purpose, trying to win a championship. And it kind of kills the fan to see any superstar player go out
because that's who the fans want to see play. So, but after listening to that video or recording, honestly, you know, other than maybe one or two lines where he, I can't really say that that was a good recording. I can't really say that he was out to take those players. I think he was making mention to their injuries to say, hey, let's give him a good whack and see how he responds. I can't say that that recording just made him look any worse than he already looked. And as far as the suspension handed down, man, I'm sorry. I think you crippled the Saints. You took away the mastermind on their offense. I mean, Sean Payton has came in and just completely turned that team around. You know, after the Katrina incident, you had a whole city that was just, I mean, they were down in a dump.
Trey, yeah. Wait a minute. I can't let your first comment go without a retort because I feel the direct opposite of you. Before we move on with talking about Drew Brees, I feel the direct opposite. Until I heard Williams, you know, his audio tape, I thought this is a lot to do about nothing. Football is a violent, physical game. Guys are going to hit. They're going to hit hard. I don't get it. I don't understand. I think this is overblown. This, you know, I felt, are you serious? And then I heard the Greg Williams, and my opinion changed because it wasn't just about, you know, like the one of the famous quotes in football is Lawrence Taylor's, just run out there and play like some wild dogs, some crazed dogs, right? That's what you expect, right? Ray Lewis,
right.
I will die for this. I will die for this. You know, you expect that intensity, 100 miles an hour. We expect that, and I'm okay with that. But when he talks about, and I'm reading a direct quote, we need to find out in the first two series of the game, the little wide receiver number 10, about his concussion. Now you're talking about someone's injury and instructing your players to go after their injury. Crabtree, we need to decide whether Crabtree wants to be a fake prima donna or whether he wants to be a tough guy. We need to find out. He becomes human when we beep, take out that outside ACL. We need to decide how many times we can beat Frank Gore's head. We need
Did
to decide how many
ACL?
Times we – I'm reading this. This is a quote.
Okay.
This is what he said.
You didn't hear this,
we need
Frank?
To decide how many times we can bull rush and we can beat – put Vernon Davis's ankle over the pile. So this isn't go out, play hard. This is specific instructions to go after injuries that you know players have had in a game where the NFL is trying to figure out a way to keep the intensity up but protect its players from concussions and things of that nature. When I saw that, I said, oh, my God.
Did he actually hear the tape, the audio?
I'm sorry?
Did he actually hear the audio itself?
Oh, you could hear it. Yeah. I mean,
if you personally had heard the audio.
Me? Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
I heard the audio.
It's pretty
bad.
It's evil. When I heard it, I was like, Jesus, like, it took on a whole new face of its own, and I even had, you know, the same viewpoint as Trey at first, like, you know, it's football, people, and I still do to a sense. I still think that, yeah, we heard the tape as far as, like, I still think that the coaches do look at the injury report, as do the players, and see, you know, injuries, and people do go after injuries. I still think that it definitely happens. I think it's naive to believe otherwise, but the way in which he was instructing his players to, you know, poke at the ACL to, you know, turn Frank Gore's head any given moment. And just the evil intent, the malicious intent that was laid out for his players, it was pretty, you had to hear it. It was kind of spooky. And it was just very evil when you heard it. It was kind of crazy. Like, apparently, you know, during this whole process, he was actually, at one point we told Alex Smith, he was making the dollar sign with his hands about, you know, I got one for you, meaning, you know, he has the money to whoever knocks him out. It was pretty brutal. Like that, again, I didn't think it was much at first, the whole scandal, but it ended up being something pretty serious. And you know what?
Sean Payton kind of did deserve the charge because at the end of the day, he did lie apparently multiple times to the commissioner and try to have cover-ups for it, but kept it really going when he knew that there was investigations going on in his ball club. So, yeah, at first the suspension seemed pretty severe, and it still is, but when you look at everything that went into it, the lying, the manipulation, the just evilness of it all, it seems pretty acceptable and reasonable to see why he did get that fine.
Here's the thing. And Train, I would recommend. I get a sense that maybe you didn't hear the full audio tape, the audio.
No, I heard it. I heard it like more than once, dude. I heard it.
And you heard what I'm reading to you, because it sounded like when I was reading it to you.
No, I heard it. Exactly. I hadn't read it in a long time. So I mean, I heard it when it first got put out because I was searching for it. But
okay.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I 100% agree with K-Star. Just don't get used to that, K-Star. At first, I didn't think Payton should have been suspended. But, yeah, as I read more, it seemed that he knew a lot more than he let on to. He lied and misled. I'm a big Sean Payton fan. He came, his last job before he became head coach was offense coordinator and a quarterback coach for the Cowboys. And I had a lot to do with the development of Tony Romo and Bill Parcells. So I have a lot of respect for Sean Payton. But that said, when you have that kind of situation, the head coach, and I've heard this from a lot of players, knows everything that's going on. There is no such thing as there's no way the head coach didn't know. No, the head coach knew. And so, it's a shame because you have to go back and question some things about that team and wonder if those instructions and what they did. Did it impact any of the wins that they had? Could it have? Well, I don't know. I'm not saying it did or didn't, but it just, you now question things that you wouldn't have questioned before, So with that said, and I mean to interrupt, Train, I couldn't let that go without a retort because I respect your opinion. I just completely disagree. I think the audio tape was just very damning. And I think the fact that it came out when it did, any chance that they had to get a reduced sentence or anything just went right out the window as soon as that, because I'd always say it came out right as they were reviewing. It was done.
Well,
you wanted to say
something? I'll say that I don't think that's the worst that he said. I honestly think he said worse than that, because that was being filmed and recorded. I'm sure he was aware of someone. That someone was there recording what he was saying. So I don't think that's the worst that this guy has told his players as far as going after players' injuries. It's just that when I was listening to it, I was trying to discern the difference between are you instructing them to go after or are you making them aware of these guys' injuries. That's what I was trying to discern for myself.
The fact that's not clear is a problem.
Yeah,
the fact that you have to ask the question, that's a problem.
Yeah. And now, I lost my train of thought. But anyway, yeah, that's the biggest thing I was trying to concern while I was trying to discern while I was listening to. I was like, is he just making them aware or is he really instructing them to go? And then I read some other players' viewpoints. Some players' viewpoints were what they heard from the audio is not abnormal. They've heard it before. Other players have said, hey, they've never heard anything like that. They thought it was crazy. So I was also trying to look at the viewpoint of former and current players that have heard it to see what they were saying about it. Just formulating my own opinion about it. But I don't think that's the worst that that guy has said. I think he said much worse.
But I don't know the relevance. But I don't understand the relevance of he said much worse. I don't get it. I mean, we don't know that. We know what he said then. You know what I'm saying? Has he said worse? Maybe.
From my point of view, dude, when they put out the fact that this dude had a bounty program going, I mean, I didn't really – I mean, the tape didn't necessarily change my viewpoint of it. You guys were saying that y'all didn't think it much of it until y'all actually saw the video. my viewpoint was different. I mean, I was discussing when I first heard about it because all I could think about was the fact that, you know, I like watching games to watch Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, Crabtree to see if he's ever going to break out. And these are the players you're targeting to take them out and possibly for the season. So when I just heard about the fact that, you know, this guy had a body program to target players to take them out, I was already disgusted by that. I didn't really need
But that wasn't necessarily clear that the bounty program was 100% to take people out, because there was people saying that, you know, remember, the ESPN used to have a segment called Jacked Up, right? Remember Jacked Up? And Jacked Up.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Right, and Jacked Up was celebrating, you know, the roughest, toughest hits of any given week. And so early on when the bounty thing came out, it wasn't clear whether it was to take someone out of the game or whether it was to just put good licks on. What we were hearing early on was, oh, no, it wasn't to take people out. It was, you know, if you had a good stick, you know, you got it. Now, as the story evolved, we started hearing more about, no, it was to take the guy out. Because remember Brett Favre in the beginning said, oh, it was no problem. That's part of football. And then once it came out that it was to take people out of the game, then he came back and said, oh, no, that's a problem. Remember? So the story had took a life of its own. And so now we have two stories. Okay, well, what's the truth? Was it just you're looking for good, solid hits and you rewarded them with a few dollars? Or was it what we're now hearing is to take people out of the game, to knock them out? And so when the audio tape came out, it was the first solid proof that this bounty program that the Saints had was designed to take someone out of the game. That's what they were looking to do. Why is it proof? Because that is what he's saying. He is saying, I want him sideways. I want him out. You know, go after his concussion. Go after his ACL. Go after his ankle. And so that's why I said in the beginning, I'm like, it's football. You know, I mean, shoot, I played defense on football. I was a defensive end. Every single play, I wanted to take your head off. It's football. What are they talking about? You know, okay, so the guy got an extra $500 because he put a good stick on someone. Big deal. You guys are playing for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Who cares? I was okay with it. I heard the audio tape. My opinion changed because now it's not about a good solid stick. Now it's about ending someone's career, potentially ending somebody's career, and I can't condone that. I can't condone that at all. When some of my most favorite players, you know, Troy Aikman was done because of concussions. Michael Irvin was done because of a neck injury. You know, got hit in Philadelphia, never played again. You know, and we can go on and on and on with players that had to end their career, some in a wheelchair because of it. Now I got a problem now. Now I got a problem. So that's kind of what I was trying to say. What do we think about the Saints now? Let's look ahead. This is a team that every year, you know, since Peyton took over and Breeze has become an elite quarterback. And remember, Breeze was tendered a one-year contract and hasn't signed, and he's looking for a long-term deal. But they haven't come to any as of this moment, he has not signed a long-term deal, nor has he signed a tender. I believe they tried to franchise him and give him a one-year deal, and he hasn't signed it. He wants a long-term deal. Just as a quick, I think that's ridiculous. I don't understand the Saints at all. Don't get that at all. But that said, what do we think about the chances for the Saints now with no Peyton at all? Parcells turned it down. Vitt's going to be their head coach, but he's going to miss the first six games. Drew Brees, status unknown at this point. I mean, is this the beginning of the end for the Saints? Let me run over to K-Star and see what he thinks.
It's very tough. You know, last year they had a stretch where Sean Payton was out because he broke his leg on the sideline, so he had to call the game from the booth. And it wasn't too much of an impact, but it was still, as what we remember, what the impact on the football field. But now he's completely taken out of the equation, the workouts, the game planning, all of that. As you said, you know, he's the mastermind of that offense. And now, first of all, I don't know if the Saints are doing a head coach because apparently Mickey Loomis or what, I'm not sure what his name is, but the assistant head coach is taking over week 8 for us the year, but he's suspended the first 8 games or 6 games. So they're going to have 2 head coaches pretty much the whole year, which is ridiculous. It's going to look silly. I just don't know what they're going to do as far as that goes. And it's going to be very tough for them again because part of what made this thing so hard to defend is, again, the great scheming that went into their new game plan every week, so to speak. That was the new wrinkle. And now they're not going to have that. And if they do have that, it's going to be as well thought out and, you know, schemed out as Sean Payton had done. You know, that's going to be very big shoes to fill. And I don't think they have anyone that can do that because there's not so many guys around like that. So Drew Brees is really going to have to just play out of his mind. And honestly, he's going to have to come up with some game plans himself. I'm not sure if he can or if he will or how the whole process is going to come about. But hell, he still isn't. He was at minicamp today because he doesn't have a contract. So they have a lot of things going wrong for him. I still think, despite all that, they'll have a decent year, maybe 9-7. But it's going to take a football team. But there's Sean Payton. This team's a favorite. One of the favorites to win the Super Bowl, but now they'll be lucky to make the playoff with all this internal chaos.
Let's be clear that it's voluntary minicamp at this point. So even if he did have a contract, he wouldn't have to go. It's all voluntary. Train, what are your thoughts on the Saints with all of the changes and all of the turmoil going into the season?
I just think the Saints don't make the playoffs, man. I don't see them being the same powerhouse. I think that, not only do they got track issues with Drew Brees, but, you know, he kind of cut off the head of the snake a little bit with Sean Payton not being there for a whole year. I mean, the GM not being there for 8 games, so he's not, I mean, his job, does that mean he's not even involved in the draft, is he?
No.
The suspension starts Monday.
And the suspension
started yesterday, right.
Yeah. So he's not with the draft, and if this goes, you know, he's gone for the first 6 weeks. A team does start with management, and you pretty much crippled their team by taking away their management. And I mean, just as the offseason got started, man, I don't see this team making the playoffs. I mean, they may scare some people through the season. They may be a little competitive, but I see them losing this division and not making it, man.
Well, gentlemen, I've been looking for an opportunity to teach you guys T-Bonics. I once again do not have that opportunity because I agree with you both. I'm a huge Drew Brees fan. I'm a huge Drew Brees fan. He was my fantasy quarterback on both my teams last year. I went to did I win? I don't even remember now. That's how much fantasy football is. Did I win? I don't even remember if I won. Did I win? Yeah, I did win, right?
You won the AFL.
I won the AFL one, right? See? I've already forgotten. I'm already looking ahead. That's what it means to me. Once I win, I celebrate. Now I'm looking ahead to win next year. So I won one, and I was one game away from the championship, the other one under Drew Brees. He's an incredible fantasy quarterback, puts up a lot of points. That said, the fact that Sean Payton's relationship with Drew Brees is maybe the tightest in the NFL between a head coach and a quarterback. And the fact that on top of that, they still haven't come to terms with this guy who is arguably anyone who says he's the best quarterback in the NFL has an argument. Not saying he is or is it, but he's in that. We talked about it all last year. Brady, Rodgers, Brees. Okay, no doubt about it. He's right there with these two guys. And the fact that they didn't lock him up right away, you know he's not happy about that. He's not. Even if they come to terms later, the fact that it's taken him to reject the one-year tender for them to come up with something, if they even do, and, you know, with Peyton being out, the GM being done, I agree with you guys. I don't even think the Saints make the playoffs. I think they're going to be in disarray. I think this is going to reverberate through their season. And, you know, it's going to be rough. It's going to be a very rough year for the Saints. And it sucks because, you know, I really love the city of New Orleans. And as a human being, it's great that city is recovering and they have a great sports team like this. But I think this is going to be a very tough year for them. And to be honest, this could reverberate for years to come. This could take them a while to recover from. And football is like that. You get to the top, but once you fall, I mean, look at the Giants win the Super Bowl in 07, 3 years in a row, they don't make the playoffs. Okay, and they didn't have any of this scandal. So, yeah, this could be it for the Saints for a while. All right, let's turn it over to Train. Another segment we're going to do, and we're going to call this Dr. Train's Philosophy. And so every week we're going to allow Train a few minutes to talk about the topic of his choice. And one of the things he wanted to talk about was RG3 potentially going to the Redskins and the impact on the NFC East. And so Train, being an NFC guy and knowing the NFC well, talk to your fans a little bit about the potential with RG3 going to the Redskins.
Now, we'll say, T, when you gave me this segment, I was like, all right, I need a topic. But I didn't want a black and white topic. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this topic got to be somewhat philosophical and football. So let me get something that can be very, 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 very opinionated, as well as speculation. So that's my thoughts when I'm actually picking a topic for this show and for any future show. But anyway, this particular topic, dude, looking at the fact that quarterbacks broke out mad last season. I mean, we had 2 5,000-yard quarterbacks. How many 4,000-yard quarterbacks? 7, 8? Anyway, here you sit in the NFC East, possibly having the most exciting group of quarterbacks in one division. I can't say his name like T, but you got Tony Romo. You got the elite Eli Manning coming off a Super Bowl championship.
I want everybody to know that the first quarterback he said was Tony Romo.
You have, man, don't blink because you might miss something, Michael Vick. And then you got potentially another Michael Vick in RG3. I mean, dude, I don't know about you. I know you definitely follow your division, but I'm excited to see any game played by the NFC East because of this dude, especially if RG3, I mean, we know he's going to end up there. I don't think he's going anywhere other than Andrew Luck and RG3. This dude is already signing jerseys, but just based on his potential alone, I think this can be the most exciting quarterback division to watch week in and week out for football, dude. I mean, I'm just super excited about it, man. I mean, you have players that are able to make all the passes. You got guys who can make plays with their feet. All the quarterbacks in that division are somewhat mobile. You got a quarterback that's already won 2 championships. You got pressure on Romo to bring Dallas to the promised land and get them a championship. I mean, you always got the high flying Eagles, and then finally, you might see some true offense from the Redskins. That could be scary and fun at the same time. So with that said, dude, I just truly believe this is like the best group of quarterbacks in one division that I've seen in a very long time.
I'll say this. I think it's a great topic for your debut topic. I think it's exciting to think about those 4 quarterbacks. I don't think it's a done deal that he's going to the Redskins. I think it's more likely than not. But I think this guy's stock has risen so much that the Colts,
and maybe
K-Star, you're out there, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think it's more likely than not that Luck goes to Indianapolis. But I think that the Colts are looking hard at RG3. I think they're looking hard. And one thing you have to consider. You have to consider Cam Newton last year and the impact he had on the league. And now you have another – now, he's not as big as Cam, okay? But you have another quarterback with a lot of those same abilities coming in. And, you know, the Colts, they got rid of Peyton. So they are ready to rebuild that team. And you bring in Andrew Luck – you're bringing in a Peyton Manning-like quarterback. Is that really what they want? Maybe. But they've got to be intrigued by the prospect of rebuilding, starting from scratch with a completely different, like, let's get away. We've done this. We've been there. We know what that's all about. But look at this. Look at what this guy does. And I got to tell you something. If I'm a general manager, one of my jobs is not only to recruit the best players, but I'm also here to sell tickets. And I got to tell you right now, I'm buying a ticket to see RG3. I don't know that I'm all that excited to see Andrew Luck. Just saying.
Yeah.
K-Star, real quick, any thoughts on Luck versus RG3 in Indianapolis since you're right there?
I don't think it's a done deal either. I think there's a very good chance that RG3 could actually end up being an Indianapolis Colt, given that same philosophy and that, you know, Jim Mercy is a flashy owner, or he wants to be anyway, and what more flashy player to build around than RG3. Now, saying that, they've had their, you know, eyes set on Luck, and for good reason. Luck's, and, you know, considered the canis prospect, you know, for the longest time. But you have another guy in RG3 who kind of emerged out of nowhere last year, so it's made it quite a dilemma. Again, you know, from what I'm hearing, it seems like it's Luck, but there's been a lot of talk lately about RG3 being the guy, and it just wouldn't surprise me if on draft day you heard the Colts pick RG3 and then, you know, the Redskins being quote-unquote stuck with Andrew Luck. You know, they wouldn't be stuck. It'd be a great situation for McDowell, but it's not what they had planned for. So it's going to be very interesting. Either way, so even if they do get Luck, they still have, you know, four very, very good quarterbacks in that division. Yeah, assuming Luck is what we think he will be.
Absolutely.
In that piece,
absolutely.
Regardless, so. That part doesn't change, but we'll see.
Yeah,
I think the Cowboys are actually preparing for RG3 from what an article that I saw, title of an article I saw.
I mean, we are, you know, it's not difficult to do because you already have to prepare for Michael Vick. And so there's a lot of similarities between these guys. So, and Michael Vick has been a thorn on our side. That elusiveness has been an issue. When McNabb was around, his elusiveness was an issue. Dallas has had trouble with mobile quarterbacks because for years we've only really had one serious pass rusher, and that's DeMarcus Ware. So we need a pass rush. We've seen the Giants win Super Bowls with a pass rush. So Dallas is determined to get a pass rush, which is what you need to stop an RG3 or a Michael Vick. You need pressure. You need to collapse that pocket, and when they go up the middle, bam, you stick them, you know. Let's go to the phone, 616 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice, 616. You're on the air.
I just want to say, what's up, Dr. Train? This cuz, baby.
What's up, cuz?
What's up, cuz? Hey, I do like Andrew Luck. I watched Andrew Luck march up and down the field on Oregon and in USC. He's more athletic than I think that people think that he is. And but RG3, that was a beast. Oh, my God, he's a beast. I mean, I watched him get knocked to the side and then get his feet back and make a throw on the money, on the dime, with effortless effort. I mean, so, man, that's a tough choice in those two. But Dr. Train, doctor, the first doctor of the family, I love you, man. You was representing.
Thanks, brother.
All right.
I want to comment real quick before you go, Train's cousin. Notice how you said what you said, and I think that's the general consensus, which is why I say it's not a done deal. What did you say? Andrew Luck's a good quarterback. You watch him march up down the field, more athletic. And then you paused, took a deep breath, and said, but RG3 is a beast. You see that? Right? But see how you said that? And Luck might be the first pick in the draft, but where was your impact? Where was your emphasis? RG3, beast.
I mean,
that's why I say it's not done.
If Andre Luck would have had a good nickname, we might be saying that too, you know what I'm saying? Stanford Tron or something like that. But the name is hot and the play is hot.
Robert Griffin III is a beast. You still use the term beast, and you paused. I'm just repeating what you did. I'm not knocking it. I'm just repeating what you did. Did everybody hear that? Andrew Luck, good quarterback.
The boy is strong. I mean, being in the Midwest, we don't get that many games from that side of the country. So when we get a chance to watch him play and you hear about him, but then you see him, it's everything that you heard about when you thought about Vic or back in the days with Tommy Frazier. I mean, I can go back with the guys, you hear about them, and you don't, like, you know, who really saw games of Nebraska until you saw them in the Orange Bowl, and then saw this guy as just like, what, are they running the option 50 yards down the field? But, you know what I'm saying, but you don't see that stuff until you get, you know, it gets to the big games, but that boy, man, is something else. But I like Andrew
that
Luck. He's smart.
That
I
is,
think anybody,
that
anybody
is
gets him is going to be happy.
Yeah, yeah, but that is why Jim Irsay might very well shock the world and be the talk of the off season, which is what he wants. Put more seats in those people in those seats, and he might go for the flash, and you might see that same pause. The first pick in the NFL draft is RG3. I'm telling you.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry, Trey. I think your point still is valid. Whether Luck or RG3 goes there, you're going to have four very good quarterbacks and exciting NFC East. I'm with you 100%. But I'm not convinced that it's a done deal. And the more
it's going to be very hard to bring RG3 into Indianapolis and play. I think Andrew Luck has a better chance, and I hate to say it, just because of the what he brings with him or what we think he's going to carry with him as a player, as a person. And I hate to bring race into it just because of that area, but I just think that they'll give him a better chance than they'll give RG3. I think RG3 will get ran out of town if he doesn't come in there and produce right away. They'll give Andrew Luck a little more time.
I think if
K-Star, K-Star, that's your hometown. What do you think? Is there any validity to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm telling you, people want to see, like, again, you got to remember that the thing is there's hype to RG3, you know, nationwide, but more so, you got to remember, at the end of the day, the Colts are the number one pick, so the fans here, they want to see RG3. And actually, you know what? It's starting to make more sense because there are people who are already kind of getting Andrew. There's billboards here, okay, saying Peyton Manning, thank you for all the memories, all the luck in the world, luck, you know, emphasized, couldn't do what you have done. There's, like, people are already against Andrew Luck before we have him. So if you flip the script and bring in RG3, which is a whole different style of player, you know, it could be very, very profitable for Indianapolis.
Cousin is saying is that he thinks, even looking at race and looking at the history in that city, that RG3 may be on a short leash, and as soon as he has a bad game or there's a problem, he's in trouble.
Right?
That he may
that's,
not.
I don't.
The same chance
I don't
see.
I don't
that
understand that. I don't see that at all. Actually, I've never been.
I hate that to be a point of emphasis, but I'm being for real, man. I'm being honest. You know, I go to school. I'm in a lot of social classes. If you just hear the conversation of young people today, people are so torn between Republican and Democrats, getting on the side, whether you're on the religious side or you're on this side, whose side are you standing on? And it's just split down the middle in everything. I mean, even just for pro teams, just in that area alone, I'm not saying that people are not going to accept him. He'll be accepted. I mean, it's 2012. He'll be accepted. But I'm saying as in how far would they, you know, he's coming in with a lot of hype with him already. If he doesn't produce, I think that he'll get run out of town a lot more faster than Andrew Luck. I think they'll
But that's
it's
not
same
limited
thing for either player,
but
though.
But that's not limited to, I mean, your point historically with black quarterbacks might have some validity, but that's not because of Indianapolis. That's simply the NFL historically has had a difficult time accepting black quarterbacks as starters. And,
man,
and
you remember Andre Ware? Andre Ware. I mean, how long did he last in Detroit?
It wasn't very good.
But he was a good quarterback, and they, you know, instead of that system he was in, no, who okay, we're not block nobody. You just gonna have everybody run around running routes. You got to block in the NFL. You can't give nobody a free run to quarterback.
You can say, and I don't think that's anything to do with the race, though, because look at David Carr. He had no one blocking him. Hell, he didn't get a chance after Houston, so I don't – or Joey Harrington as well.
Carr should have been drafted. I love Carr, but Carr should have been drafted. There were some people that got drafted should have never been drafted. They never had a – like the kid right now they're talking about – the kid they're talking about out of Boise State, his arm is below average. Why are we hyping this?
Hold on. Let's bring it back to – we're getting way off. My point is the statement you made was targeted at Indianapolis, and all I'm saying is any quarterback that comes in – I mean, nobody thought Cam Newton was going to be what he was last year. Okay, and had he came in and stunk it up in Carolina, we could have been having this conversation about him as well. Vince Young came in with a lot of hype, and where is he now? Backing up, you know, Michael Vick. So what I'm saying is any
African-American – when he went to Carolina –
He came in –
I believe everybody was saying he couldn't do it. When he went to Carolina.
I said nobody thought that Cam was going to be able to. He came in with some hype, but no one thought he was going to be what he was. What he did last year, setting rookie records and the passes that he made as an NFL
Hall of Fame. So, you know, I love Cam.
What he did as a quarterback to me was exaggerated because he was African American, and nobody's seen a rookie black quarterback do the things that he's done. Never mind any quarterback do some of the things that he's done. Not even Peyton Manning, because he broke some of those records. So what I'm saying is, I don't think your statement is limited to Indianapolis. I think if RG3 goes to Washington, as conventional wisdom is suggesting, and he plays poorly, you know, Redskins, that's a very tough city to play in. Very tough city. And
that's just the NFL at this point.
African-American quarterbacks have always been on short leash.
Every quarterback in the NFL is on a short leash now.
We couldn't be quarterbacks. I'm in the era where in high school where I had guys that my quarterback made All-State when once all the other good white quarterbacks or decent white quarterbacks graduated. But other than that, he sat on the bench the entire time. I mean, he was a great athlete, but he sat on the bench behind this brother and this guy's brother and this guy's legacy brother. And until those guys all graduated, he never saw the field. I mean, we weren't smart enough to coach. We weren't smart enough to play quarterback.
What you're doing is validating my point, which is, I don't want this to be an attack on Indianapolis. I don't think it's going to matter.
Right.
I think, and I also think, though, I will say this. I think Cam Newton is changing people's perspective. I think Cam Newton's performance last year is making people accept that RG3. I think that is why, if Cam hadn't played that way last year, I think it'd be clear cut. There wouldn't be no discussion. Luck's going to the Colts, and that's it. You know, but the fact that Cam played so well, I think now people are saying, oh, so this is possible on this level. Combine that with the resurgence of Michael Vick. Okay,
I got to address this real quick. Hold on, though. As far as you're saying, hold on. You got to stop real quick. Hold on. First of all, as far as Indianapolis goes, people, the most revered athlete ever from Indianapolis is still Reggie Miller, first and foremost. So, and he's black. I understand basketball player, but anyway.
The thing is you're focusing on
Indianapolis' race, right?
Let you do that. Do not bring basketball into this conversation.
No.
Basketball
is everything to do with race in Indianapolis, though.
If you said Boston, I'd listen to you, because Boston has a history of being the last city to integrate, but not Indianapolis. Okay, come on now. You can't bring Richard into this conversation and use that as the foundation of your point.
I don't think I can bring Indianapolis into this point, though. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand how that even happened.
I don't understand that. What I said was, if you listened, I said,
no,
this
I'm not,
is not
talking about you, B. I'm talking the other guy. I don't understand how Indianapolis was being brought into the whole, would we accept him, because he's that just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no.
Ooh, I mean, good. I guess, then can I step in here for a minute, because I've been kind of quiet. I just kind of, not that I agree with what my cousin has said, but I mean, he's basing what he's saying based on his own personal experience, and he's entitled to that. But I think if there's any pressure as far as how quickly RG3 may get ran out of Indianapolis versus Andrew Luck, I think it's the fact that Andrew Luck represents what the Colts are used to seeing at quarterback. So in the event that if they throw the third ball and get RG3, then there's going to be the pressure of, man, you know, the fans are looking to see their next Peyton Manning. Okay, they're not looking to see the next Randall Cunningham, the next Cam Newton. They were looking to see their next Peyton Manning. So I think that's the kind of pressure that RG3 faces when he, if he comes to Indianapolis versus going to the Redskins.
But
that's my
thing. The same thing is going to happen to Andrew Luck. Like the thing is, I'm saying, do you guys not realize that there's billboards already hating on Andrew Luck here? That's my point. Like, it doesn't matter if what race is, because Andrew Luck's going to be under a tremendous amount of pressure, and it doesn't matter that he's white. It has nothing to do with anything. That's all I'm saying, because that person's going to feel a lot of pressure because it's Peyton Manning's, and Peyton Manning's shadow that they're stepping into. People aren't going to forget about Peyton Manning. And that's just what it comes down to. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else.
Well,
they're going to have a lot of pressure
regardless. That's the thing, Chase. So I didn't bring in race. I'm just saying Andrew Luck is more prototypical to Peyton Manning than RG3
that
is.
But you're making a leap of faith, Train, that the fans want another Peyton Manning as far as style of play.
Yes,
they
want
to win.
I am.
Okay, don't know that. What we do know is they want a winner, because that's what Peyton Manning delivered for 15 years, is he won games, and that's what they want. So regardless of the style, we don't know what the fans want style-wise. We know they want to win. So I agree with K-Star on that one point. Neither quarterback going in behind a Hall of Famer, a legend like Peyton Manning, is not going to be a cakewalk for either quarterback, period. Okay, I agree with him 100% on that. What your cousin's point about it being tougher because he's African-American, I don't think applies in this particular case, but I do agree that around the NFL, that has been a standard over the years, that it has been tougher for African-American quarterbacks to be successful because of the perception of only being mobile and not being great passers, not being as intelligent and being able to call their own plays, audible at the line, understanding the playbooks. We heard Rush Limbaugh talk about that a few years ago when talking about Donovan McNabb. So that's real. So I agree with that NFL-wide, but I don't think it applies in this case because we're talking about a legend. We're talking about arguably the greatest regular season quarterback to ever play the game. So I don't care who you are. You're coming into some huge shoes, and the only way that you're going to be successful is to win a game. Okay, what style you play, you better win some games.
You better win, because Peyton Manning won a lot of games here. I'm telling you, people, there are billboards here already hating on Andrew Luck. Like, they're pretty much saying, like, you know, there's so many Peyton Manning farewell billboards. It's insane. And it's saying that all the luck in the world could never bring us on the Peyton. Like, it's insane. Like, it's just whoever it is.
That's the first thing about the Peyton, pretty much. You know, they're going to be cheering anyway. When the season starts, they're going to be cheering for the quarterback out there. But, I mean, I'm a quarterback's coach. I coach football. I coach basketball. I'm just telling you, from my over the years, I mean, in this area, right now, what's missing is still a black quarterback in this area. It's still hard to get a kid on the field. He's always the running back or the wide receiver or the DB. I'm sorry. I hate to have to be like that.
Well, and I don't, you know, as Train said, you're basing your opinion off what you've seen. You know, we are a pro football analyst, so we're looking at what we've seen in the pro game, and you have to admit that the evolution over the years has improved, and now we have.
I agree with that.
You know, Steve McNair, rest in peace, David Garrard, Michael Vick, Cam Newton. I mean, you know, there are a plethora of African-American quarterbacks doing well now, and 10 years ago that wasn't the case, and I think it's improving, you know, because we are performing. The bottom line is we got to perform. Before, we weren't even given a chance. Now, team, you know, the general manager is saying, you know what? Wait a minute. Let's give this guy a chance. And these guys are making the pass. They're making the play. They're doing things. And I think Cam Newton, I mean, I've watched a couple of games, but I heard the analysis. I've never in my life heard the compliments of an African-American quarterback in the way he passes. And this guy ran for 1,000 yards and how many touchdowns, and they talked about his passing. He made throws that you don't make for 5 or 6 years in the NFL.
Every week.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I think that
would be the greatest ever. Like,
well, that's
crazy. Anyway, got an absolute word for it, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, he's got all the love in the world.
Right. But listen, Train's cousin, appreciate you calling in. We're running out of time, so we got to start to wrap
right.
up. But we'll
have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Let me see. We got well, you know what? We were going to talk about the rule changes, but you know, I think we can maybe hit on one rule change. We understand if I have it correctly, and I have all the rule changes here. But briefly, I think the one that Train mentioned was the overtime rule in the postseason will now be used in the regular season, so that regular season games will be ended on a field goal in the first possession of overtime. Okay, I got to tell you guys, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I kind of didn't like it for the playoffs, but I was kind of like, okay, it's the playoffs, you know. And you're saying it's a playoff game, and we don't want it to end that way, okay, because the season's over. Okay, I can get behind that. Let's try it for the playoffs. And the one game that we actually saw the rule, which although the rule didn't become a factor because they scored a touchdown, was the Steelers and the Broncos, right? But, you know, for a regular season game, I don't like it. I mean, that's been the way it's been. You know, you get into overtime, you score, you win the game. You know?
Play to win the game.
Yeah, I mean.
So was it you or was it Trey who said that one of the biggest beats that they had with the overtime rule last year was that it's different from the regular season rule and that it was
me?
A possibility?
That was me. That was me. Right. That was my biggest beat.
But how do you feel about the rule change then?
To be honest with you, I like it. I like it because it's continuity. Trust me, I don't like the overtime. Yeah, I don't like the overtime rule at all, period. Not even the playoffs. But
yeah,
they changed it to make it all a regular season. Now people know the rule. They know how to prepare for it when it comes to the playoffs. They get used to it. It brings continuity to the game. From that standpoint, from that point of view, I have no problem with it.
You know, I will say this, Train. I as you say that, I gotta agree with that statement. That if you're gonna have it in the playoffs, then it does make sense to go ahead and have it in the regular season. I never considered that. I just looked at the game-to-game application, and I just don't like it. I guess in general, I just kind of don't like the rule. But if they're gonna have it in the playoffs, you're right. Then they need to just have it. Period. And that does make sense. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Ooh, oh, whoa! I got some cool old man.
All right, real quick.
I'm looking forward to this. I want to see how this plays out. Now we're actually going to have a real sample size and how it actually works rather than just this one game where it ended in one play, unfortunately, for me, for my team. We'll actually be able to see how it actually plays out and how it works. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
In upcoming shows, we'll talk more about the other rule changes that we had and in some of the proposed rule changes you know, that are out there. One of the things I definitely want to talk about, and I'm going to plant this seed for Train to think about, the Devin Hester-led Bears, but one of the things that is being discussed in the future is getting rid of kickoffs.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but when I heard it, the first person I thought of was Train and the Bears, so we'll pick that up. Maybe that can be Train's philosophy for the next show.
I started to put that on the list, and I didn't because I was like, it's too early. It was only speculation, so I didn't want to touch it. But
the Giants owner, it's so much speculation, he even commented on it. But save that for a future show. Lastly, before we wrap up, of course, I get my own segment. I can't have my co-host getting a segment, and I don't. And, of course, what is my segment going to be? My segment is going to be T-Bonics. And you know what? These guys were so good tonight. I got to say I was impressed with Train and K-Star tonight. Normally, I teach T-Bonics all through the show. But tonight, these guys actually, you know, they actually held their own. I didn't have to school them.
Yeah.
They came prepared. They had well thought out arguments, and I congratulate them both on a job well done. So I have T-Bonics on another topic. There's a lot of people giving Tony Romo a hard time because, once again, he's trying out for the U.S. Open. And they're saying, you know, you're a franchise quarterback. You're quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You've only had one playoff win in your career, and you're playing golf. Not only playing golf, but trying to be a professional golfer and make the cut. What is wrong with you? And that's the knock that he's getting now. And I say, get a life. It's off season. If he wants to play golf on whatever level, what's the problem? Leave the guy alone. I don't get it. We have athletes. I mean, Eli Manning is coming on SNL Live this weekend, Saturday Night Live, to be a host. Is there a problem with that? He's going to be an actor. Is there a problem with that? You don't think they have rehearsals? You don't think that's not going to be demanding of his time? And voluntary workouts started already, right? And where's he going to be? Now, granted, it's in New York. No problem. But is that a problem? I don't get it. I don't get why a guy doing something in his offseason, in his time, is such a problem. Coming off the best season of his career, I don't get it. Leave him alone. I really want to start. I leave Tony Romo alone, okay? I'm tired of it. I've had enough of Tony Romo being singled out because the Cowboys are where they are not because of Tony Romo. If you say it's because of Jerry Jones, I'm going to listen to you. If you say it's because of the defense, I'm going to listen to you. If you say even it's Jason Garrett, I have a hard time with that one, but he's the head coach, I'm going to listen to you. It's not Tony Romo, though. The guy has played – you know, I mean, Troy Aikman, who was a very honest guy who won 3 Super Bowls with the Cowboys, said that Tony Romo's a better quarterback than I was. I don't believe he needed to say. I don't believe he has to say anything. And he made that. That was 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. He came out and said that. Romo is an excellent quarterback. The Cowboys need to help him out. And I believe they're making moves and have made moves, and I believe I'm optimistic about this year. But it's off season. It's April. If the guy wants to play golf, for crying out loud, leave him alone. Leave Tony Romo alone. He went to Cabo with Witten. There was a problem. It was his time off. He dated Jessica Simpson. Are you kidding me? You're going to give him a hard time because he dated Jessica Simpson? I bet 95% of the callers male people listening to this show right now, Jessica Simpson, now she's pregnant, so she's off the market. But if you watch The Dukes of Hazzard and you see that Jessica Simpson come up and approach you, 95% of the guys on this phone call is going to say, what time, baby? So what do you say about how to
try
alone, okay?
I agree with this, alone. By the way. I agree with this. I actually agree with you. And it's actually funny because Vic Ben's catching some flack too because he's going overseas in Europe to the famous golf courses over the next month and just golfing, like Tony Romo, although Tony Romo's doing the U.S. Open. Ben's doing his own thing, golfing. He got crap from it through Pro Football Talk and some other articles bashing him, and I couldn't figure out why either. So I feel your pain on this one.
Hey, when Ben Roethlisberger had a motorcycle accident, I was the first one to jump up and defend him till I found out that there was a clause in his contract that said you can't ride a motorcycle. Then I said, okay, well, he was wrong. Before that, I'm like, okay, he had an accident. Who knew he was going to have an accident? If he wants to ride a motorcycle, that's his business. But then they said, well, there was a clause in his contract that he wasn't supposed to do that. I'm like, well, okay, then fine, then he shouldn't do it. If Jerry Jones doesn't want Romo playing golf, you put in a contract. He's being paid $67 million, and you say, we're sorry, but that's not okay. Jerry Jones says it's okay. It's his offseason, his personal plan. Leave the guy alone. Let him go play golf. Get away from
him. Hey, there are no injuries related to golf, are there?
I mean, yeah, you can get injured in doing anything. You can fall down the stairs in your house and break a leg. I mean, what are you going
to
say?
I'm just saying there's no crazy injuries just to gain from just playing golf. I mean, it's kind of a rhetorical question, but, you know.
Well, Tiger Woods has certainly had some pretty good injuries playing golf, but that's what he does week in and week out. I think that Tony Romo being a top-flight pro quarterback, I would think that it would be unlikely that he would, you know, twist his knee or do anything playing golf. This is what he does. He's very good at it. Leave the guy alone. Okay, leave the guy alone. All right.
I was just going to say, I want people to leave the guy alone so he won't have to come on and defend him so much.
Man, you like a bulletproof vest with Tony Romo.
I get tired of it, bro. I get tired of it because I went through 10 years between, well, maybe not 10, maybe more like 8, between Aikman and Romo. And, you know, I went through the Chad Hutchinson, Drew Henson, Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe for years. And we finally have a guy, Quincy Carter, Mr. Marijuana himself. And we finally have our guy, and now the Cowboy fans forget about it. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I mean, other than Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers, who do you really want over Romo in the NFL? I'm sorry. I don't want anybody. So leave him alone. All right. Train, any final words?
I'm just excited that Dr. Train's philosophy ended up being one of the hottest topics of the night. That was awesome just to get that discussion. I thought that was just great. It's just a lot. It was a lot of viewpoints in that discussion. So that was awesome. That was a good feeling. I got to make sure I keep that going. So that was awesome.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm happy about that too. K-Star, good luck in the tournament next weekend. Any final words?
Appreciate it. No, not really. Just trying to win this 140 Gs.
Good luck, man.
All right.
Appreciate
all
it.
Right.
Represent the Madden Voice. Oh, and by the way, see, you have a crew. Your crew is the Madden Voice. I was going to say that earlier, and I couldn't get it in.
Oh, I like it. I like it like that. I appreciate that. First of all, great show, guys. You guys did an excellent job tonight. I'm very excited. The next thing that people can look forward to is on themaddenvoice.com, I will be starting a blog. I haven't figured out what I'm going to name it yet, but I'm going to be starting a blog. I'm going to be testing my journalistic writing skills, and a blog is going to be coming very, very soon. And, you know, if Dr. Train or K-Star want to blog at some point, we have plenty of bandwidth on the website. If you guys, something you guys want to do that's great, or anything you guys want to do on the website, let's talk about it offline. We want to make the website very interactive and very engaging, so stay tuned for that. Final thing for tonight is something that I meant to discuss a while back, and I just never got to it. So I'm going to hit it real, very briefly. You know, a few months ago, Whitney Houston passed away. And, you know, for my generation, I grew up with Whitney Houston. Okay. And it's sad how she passed away, and it's sad how her life went down over the last few years. But, you know, I remember when Whitney came out, and, you know, Whitney was one of the people that we always listened to, my generation. I mean, she was a few years older than me, but I grew up listening to Whitney Houston. That's, you know, you listen to Whitney Houston. It's like you listen to Michael Jackson, you listen to Whitney Houston. It's what you did. You know, Madonna, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, these people I grew up with. And it's sad. I was very sad when she passed away. It was shocking to me. It was sad. And I felt like, you know, one of the most memorable songs that Whitney ever did was in 1991 when she sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl. And that song was the first time ever that a national anthem at a Super Bowl also became a number one hit on the Billboard charts. And so I thought it was only fitting to end the show tonight playing Whitney Houston and the national anthem. So with that said, for the Train, for K-Star, for all of the callers out there, we want to thank you. We'll be back on the air in 2 weeks, May 1st, to talk about the Madden Challenge. It's sponsored by VG. Our very own K-Star will be there and to talk about the NFL Draft. And as we close out, we want to say rest in peace, Whitney Houston. We love you. We will never forget you. And this is for you.
And now to honor America, especially the brave men and women serving our nation in the Persian Gulf and throughout the world, please join in the singing of our national anthem. The anthem will be followed by a flyover of F-16 jets from the 56th Tactical Training Wing at MacDill Air Force Base and will be performed by the Florida Orchestra under the direction of Maestro Yaha Ling and sung by Grammy Award winner Whitney Houston.